From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 19th day of November 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. Today's the 146th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's delivery of the Gettysburg Address. We'll listen to those famous words from one of our nation's most sorrowful days a bit later in the program. Also in this half hour, we'll update you on all of the day's agricultural news and preview the December 1 and 2 Ag Masters program. It's scheduled for the brand new I Hotel just south of the Assembly Hall right here on campus. And at the end of this half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby December wheat at 562.5, down 3.75 today. The March at 584, 4 cents lower. May down 4 as well at $5.95.5. December corn futures $3.95, down 3. The March at 410.75, 3 lower. And the May futures at 420.5, down 3. July at 428.75, down 2. September corn at 433, finished 2.5 lower. Soybeans, January contract, $10.39, up 12. The March at 1044.75, 11.5 cents higher. The May contract at 1046.25, up 11. And July at 1050, up 10.75. August soybeans, 1046.5, 9 cents higher. December bean meal at 318.40, up $7.90. The December bean oil at 39.45, finished 30 cents lower. December live cattle futures today, 83.67.5, up 60. The Febs at 85.37.5, up 40 cents. And the November feeders at $93.02, finished 7.5 cents higher. January contract there at $91.82, up a dime. December lean hog futures, $55.97. The finish there, 47.5 cents lower on the afternoon. And February lean hogs at $63.27, finished down 95 cents per hundred weight. More on the marketplace when we talk with Dan Zwicker in just a couple of minutes. You are listening, of course, to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, nearby contract, that's December, $77.46 on its settlement price, down $2.12 today. January, down $2.05 a barrel at $78.05. December ethanol at 212 and a tenth of a penny higher on the afternoon. Natural gas at 434 and a tenth, 8 8/10 lower, or rather higher there as well. RBOB gasoline was lower at 3 3 8/10 of a cent at $1.97 3/10. And the heating oil or diesel fuel right at $2, at $2.1 of a penny, down 4 7/10 on the afternoon. November gold at $1,141.40. Up 70 cents for the day, the Dow at 10,320, just about 106 points lower, and the U.S. dollar at 75.29 is up 0.11 on the afternoon. Gold futures finished the day once again at 1,141. That's up 70 cents on the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own Ed Kieser with a bit of an update from Mike Sola. They say tonight in Illinois should be mostly cloudy. That'll be early and then partial clearing. Some patches of fog forming in Indiana. Cloudy, some showers, a little drizzle during the evening. Mostly cloudy, patchy fog forming after midnight. Lows will range this evening from 34 in west central Illinois to 40 in the northern and eastern parts of Indiana. And then tomorrow, patchy fog during the morning. Otherwise, partly to mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow will range from 48 in northeastern Indiana to 58 in the far southern parts of Illinois. Dry weather will continue on Saturday. Most areas will remain dry on Sunday, although a few scattered light showers can't be ruled out in far western Illinois and in far southern areas near the Ohio River. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of the hour and talk to Pete Levitt.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
The marketplace is interesting, I think, mostly because producers are looking at, the last 40 or last 400 acres, depending on how far along they are, of their corn, not likely to get it out very soon because it's gotten awfully wet, probably will need to wait for a freeze to come by. There are and have been some what most have termed decent prices in the last week. Will there be another round of it yet to come?
Well, soybeans, did put in a good session here today. We kind of put in kind of a spike high yesterday. The market did show some weakness early today, then come back and closed higher. So the soybean market is definitely, I think, in the best technical shape and as well as the fundamental side of the equation with another real strong round of weekly export sales. So soybeans look pretty good shape yet to try to reach on higher in here. Corn, though, I think you can kind of look at the chart pattern. It kind of looks like there could be a possible double top forming in the March corn futures. But if beans want to move on higher, I think at some point in time it'll will catch and maybe help lift corn higher. But corn's got some problems from the fundamental point of view. I mean, you can look at another dismal week of weekly export sales, and that is going to hang over the marketplace. Wheat's kind of in the same situation with corn. Got a lot of supply around, and, demand isn't really super in here.
When you look longer term at your charts, would you think that corn would have any potential going over the next 6 months?
Well, 6 months is a little different than maybe 30 days. It's going to be interesting, as you mentioned. We've got a lot of wet soils around the corn belt here. It doesn't look like we're going to run behind on fall tillage work. A lot of this corn on corn is not going to get ripped up, and then that'll depend upon what the spring weather is, because we could be laying the groundwork for another late spring. There, at some point in time, I think if these beans keep going higher, you're going to hear talk of larger bean acres versus corn. So corn may come, in through the back door as trying to be a little friendly, maybe as you get 6 months down the road on maybe reduced acres or maybe an acreage basis not as large as what they think. So a lot of that will depend upon what happens in South America. Near term, we're somewhat still in what you would call as a dollar market. I mean, you can pretty much look at whether the dollar is higher or lower, and you can pretty well predict that corn and soybeans are going to be opposite whatever the dollar is. So, and I think that's part of today's hiccup. Yesterday we were, the last 2-3 days, you're either sharply higher or sharply lower on the dollar. The dollar does look like it might be trying to form at least a sideways base or maybe a period of consolidation in here. And we were a little higher earlier, so I think that kind of added some downward pressure on the commodity complex, just as, crude oil prices are sharply lower here today and whatnot.
If you look at the marketplace, though, Dan, and while you feel neutral to bearish, I guess, the corn market at the moment and friendlier to the soybeans, the marketplace really sort of tells you the opposite thing, because there is carry in the market for corn, but none for beans, and in fact an inverse from this year to next year for the soybeans. But what makes you certain, other than the technical side of the market, that beans can really move much higher?
Well, I think the inverse tells you that. I mean, I think that tells you that there's strong demand. The market wants the beans to come to town. Supplies are tight. South America, while planting is going quite well down there, I think Brazil is somewhere around maybe 75% planted. They still got a lot to plant yet. We haven't got that crop grown, and no competition from South America really sort of speak of until you get into April. I do know some beans get harvested in February and March, but the bulk of the inventory is really not going to be into the export market until April. So beans are a much tighter situation, at least right now, and corn is much looser. So, I mean, the market is basically telling with the full carry in the market, store grain, store corn, the market really does not need that right now because demand is not very good. So the market is paying carrying charges to put corn in the bin.
All right. And then what's your best advice for producers on that second half of their crop? And I guess you may have production advice for them, too. You might talk to enough folks about that. But marketing advice on the second half of the crop that's still standing in the field.
Well, I've been kind of in the camp that I some kind of late fall, early winter high could kind of form in this market. And then we maybe sink into some kind of winter low, and then we, of course, regroup, and we'll take a look at what the new growing season has to offer. So I guess I'm kind of in the camp that one needs to kind of be watchful in here over the next 2 to 3 weeks for some good selling opportunities, or at least an opportunity to put some kind of price floor under your markets, because I do think 2010, at least some of my long-term cyclical work, the stars are in alignment to at least have the potential of being fairly bearish. So I'm a little concerned as I go into 2010. So I'm kind of in the camp that one maybe needs to look at selling opportunities more earlier in the growing season or the marketing year here rather than later in the marketing year.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
That's all I have. I guess I won't be speaking to you next week because that will be Turkey Day. So I want to wish everybody have a good Thanksgiving.
All right. Thank you so much.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers, professional market advice, and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
If you'd like to listen to what Dan had to say again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find our daily ag programming. You can download and listen to it anytime you'd like, right from the website, or have it delivered to your computer automatically as a podcast. And you can sign up at willag.org. While you're there, don't forget to sign up for our free weekend newsletter as well over on the right-hand side of the page. Just hit subscribe. It's just as easy to get on that newsletter list as it is to get off of it. You can unsubscribe on the right-hand side of the page as well. And there's a way to manage your subscription if you give us your cell phone number on USDA report days. On that morning, we will text you the numbers, but not many more times than that, maybe 16, 17 times of the year. We'll send you a little text with important information from the United States Department of Agriculture on production agriculture in the Midwest. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment. He'll help take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, a Senate committee passed legislation yesterday that would increase government oversight of the U.S. food supply. The bill would expand U.S. Food and Drug Administration oversight of the food supply by giving it the power to order recalls, increase inspection rates, and require all facilities to have a food safety plan in place. The Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee approved the legislation unanimously by a voice vote. The Senate bill is similar to legislation passed by the House in July. House Democrats are retreating from a plan to move permanent estate tax legislation by the end of the year. Instead, they hope to move legislation that extends current estate tax levels for 1 year. House Democrats are balking at the $257 billion 10-year cost of making the 2009 policy permanent. The chairman of the U.S. Senate Budget and Agriculture Committees say they oppose the Federal Reserve Board becoming a regulator for the futures industry. Budget Chairman Kent Conrad and Agriculture Chair Blanche Lincoln say the Fed does not have the expertise to regulate commodities. Lincoln announced that Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner will testify on December 2nd before the Agriculture Committee, which has jurisdiction over the futures industry. Earlier this week, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke called for the creation of a regulatory process and regulatory body whose job would be to police the U.S. financial system for systematic risk. UN officials are putting on a brave face on this week's Rome meeting, saying it has won broad support for the need to focus on longer-term agricultural development rather than emergency aid to help poor countries feed themselves. The no-show by heavyweights from most of the world's biggest economies lowered the summit's profile. Less than a third of the 192 heads of states and governments invited by the FAO showed up. The FAO had hoped the summit would yield firm promises to boost farm aid to $44 billion a year, reversing nearly 30 years of neglect. But the summit declaration merely pledged to eliminate hunger, quote, at the earliest possible date, and set no targets nor a time frame for more investments in agricultural development. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week. Both of those programs you can hear on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
...146 years ago today, President Abraham Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg Address. The Civil War had entered its third day, and for 3 days, more than 90,000 soldiers from the Army of the Potomac and about 75,000 troops from the Army of Northern Virginia had fought at a crossroads in Pennsylvania's fruit-growing hill country. Now, that clash between the Union and Confederate soldiers in the market town of Gettysburg still stands as the largest land battle ever fought in the Western Hemisphere. On this day in history, President Abraham Lincoln came to the site to consecrate a cemetery in their honor. The brief Gettysburg Address marked a defining moment in the Civil War. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives, that that nation might live. It's altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense. We cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Abraham Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg Address the 19th day of November, 1863.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. In just 2 weeks, I'll be up on stage at the inaugural Ag Masters Conference. As many of you know, this year's conference represents a significant transition from a really rich history of crop sciences conferences conducted over a 60-year span. Those conferences included the Custom Spray Operators Training School, the Illinois Agricultural Pesticide Conference, and the Crop Protection Technology Conference. In turn, each of them confirmed the commitment of the University of Illinois to agriculture. Now, the University of Illinois Extension Specialists, who are co-chairs of this new conference, called the Ag Masters Conference, want to take that land-grant legacy to new heights. It is particularly appropriate, I think, in 2009, the 200th birthday of President Abraham Lincoln, the signer of the Morrill Land-Grant College Act in 1862, that U of I Extension begins a new journey with the Ag Masters Conference. The planners of this conference have strived to bring all the participants the latest and most timely information in crop production and protection by featuring noted speakers who are all well-respected in their fields of scholarship. The first day of the program, Monday, December the 1st, Ag Masters will utilize a general session format designed to capture everyone's interest and simulate a little discussion. I'll host that program. The second day, the advanced session will have a limited enrollment and will feature instructors in a classroom setting going over the latest scientific literature in specific biological and agricultural fields of study. The Ag Masters program is just a bit less than 2 weeks away, December the 1st and 2nd. That's a Monday and Tuesday. It'll be held at the I Hotel, just south of the Assembly Hall, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can learn more and register online. Just look up Ag Masters, all one word, in the search engine Google. In just about 2 minutes, I'll return when we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt about the weather. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
You probably caught that by now, but December 1st and 2nd actually are a Tuesday and Wednesday. That's the first couple of days of December. Be sure to visit the website and check into the Ag Masters program. Just search Google, as I said earlier, and you can find it. It's the very first thing that's listed. Ag Masters, all one word. Back in two.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Illinois' unemployment rate has hit its highest level since August 1983. The state's Department of Employment Security says Illinois' seasonally adjusted unemployment rate was 11% in October. That's up from 10.5% in September and compares to a rate of 6.8% in October of last year. Illinois is still losing jobs, but at a slower rate. State officials say non-farm employment recorded 3,200 fewer jobs in October. It was the 21st consecutive monthly loss. The president of Illinois' Senate says state lawmakers have no formal control over whether terrorism suspects wind up being housed in the state. President John Cullerton says lawmakers can't take an official vote allowing or blocking the plan to move suspected terrorists to northwest Illinois. Cullerton says the only role for lawmakers is to have a review committee, review the idea and take an advisory vote. The legislature's bipartisan Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability reviews proposals to close state property like the prison in Thompson. Governor Pat Quinn is considering selling the prison to the federal government. It could then be used to house terrorism suspects now held at Guantanamo Bay. The Obama administration has not decided yet whether it wants the Illinois prison. Operations are returning to normal at Chicago airports after an FAA computer glitch. A Chicago Aviation Department spokesman says neither O'Hare International Airport nor Midway Airport have been as badly affected as other U.S. airports. Flight delays at Midway averaged about 30 minutes, while some flights bound for the East Coast delayed more than an hour. Some flights at O'Hare are delayed by about 20 minutes. There are only a few cancellations at both airports. A homeless community in Champaign has a new place to stay tomorrow. The 30 or so members of Safe Haven have moved frequently since a city ordinance forced them to leave the backyard of the Catholic Worker House last June. But 17 newly renovated homes at Restoration Urban Ministries will serve as home for them until next May. Sylvia Ronsvale, the faith-based group Empty Tomb, says in a month's time, area churches were able to raise more than $18,000 and put in more than 800 volunteer hours. She says the rooms needed extensive work, requiring new heating and air conditioning, carpeting, and some electrical work. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois and Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Thursday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. On the line with us today is Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist. Good afternoon to you, Peter.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Weather forecast has been wet for the past few days, and it's certainly come in at a bad time. We had soils that could support at one point pretty heavy machinery, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen for a while now.
No, it isn't, because even with drier weather in the forecast for the next couple of days, clearing out late today and tonight and tomorrow, and Saturday and Sunday look pretty good, things dry out awfully slowly this time of year, and so it's going to be a while before the soils firm up again, and then it looks like we've got some more showers coming about Monday and Tuesday. Right now they don't look to be particularly heavy, but it may just be enough to keep the soil soft where they are. And of course the principal harvest, the corn harvest, is way behind normal, as we all know, and that stuff's not doing much for the quality of that crop.
Is it at this time of the year that the best the producer might be able to hope for is an early freeze and a hard one?
Yes, that, as a matter of fact, that's exactly what they have to hope for. They said to get really cold enough, and then it doesn't matter if the soil is moist. If it's frozen, it can support the equipment. And that's what a lot of harvesting, in the especially in the upper Midwest, is going to have to wait until the soils do freeze hard and that it will support equipment. And how the crop stands up under those conditions, they're not bad. It doesn't deteriorate very rapidly, but it's tough to get the moisture out of the kernels when you have so much lateness and maturity in that crop.
How long do you think we'll have to wait before that happens, the freeze, that is?
Well, I don't see anything coming this week. Next week it is going to get colder, which is easy to say because temperatures are going to be running above normal for the next 5 to 7 days. So just getting back to normal will be a little bit colder. But it looks like we'll go into December, the pattern will shift to the cold side again, and that's when we probably get things going. In the first week of December, I think we'll start to see some really cold weather coming in.
No, it sounds like farmers will have the opportunity to at least get Thanksgiving dinner, though they might prefer to be in the field, I guess.
That's for sure. It looks like Thanksgiving looks like a very normal day, as a matter of fact, across the Midwest, as far as temperatures are concerned.
They've had some problems, I think, with dryness in Argentina and that part of the world. Can you tell me what you see there?
Yeah, well, they've been getting some showers in northern Argentina, and that's been a help. That's been the toughest area. They've had abundant moisture in Brazil further north, so they're not very concerned up there. They've a little worried that they weren't getting too wet. But the Argentine this year looks a lot better than the past couple of years when they were very dry, but they could still use a little bit more moisture, especially in the wheat-growing areas in the southern part of the Ag Belt.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Mm-hmm, my pleasure.
That's Peter Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow for the Closing Mark Report, same time, right here on this radio station. And if you can't hear us there, how about at willag.org? Or you can always dial 217-333-3434. We'll post a bit of the analysis and, of course, the Closing Market Report numbers. You have a good afternoon and stay safe. I'm Todd Gleason.